Ugh, you said you were over him, but his hoodie is still in your rotation. It's time. Grab your phone, snap a few pics, and sell it on Depop. List it in minutes, with no selling fees. And just like that, a guy 500 miles away just paid full price for your closure. And right on cue.
Hey, still got my hoodie?
Nope, but I've got tonight's dinner paid for. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. List now with no selling fees. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
Welcome back. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live. It's Dan Canobio. It's the champion, Chris Algieri, and we're presented by PPV.com. PPV.com is the best way to stream live events, whether it's boxing, AEW, and whatever else they pick up. It is the best way to watch the fights. No subscriptions. We're living in the subscription world. PPV.com lets you buy as you go. Great streams, clear streams. I was watching the fight the other night, Matias and Dalton Smith, on my big screen TV. I pulled up the PPV.com app. No buffering. Perfect 4K streaming. And it was an unbelievable experience because they have a live interactive chat. You're able to get in there and get your thoughts off. Sometimes me and Chris are in there. Other times Lance Pugmire's in there. There's always someone of note in that live interactive chat. So special thanks to our proud presenting sponsor, PPV.com, going on 3 years strong with those lovely folks over there. How are you, Chris? It is Wednesday, January 14th, episode 440. Good Lord.
I'm doing great, Dan. Little inside boxing, behind the boxing, behind the mic talk here. Dan sent me episode 9 earlier today, where I was a featured guest. Episode 9 of Inside Boxing Live, featuring myself as one of the one of the guests. My very first appearance, apparently, on IBL.
Let me pull that up. Yeah, episode 9 was on this day, January 14th, 2018. I was doing the show in a garage on Long Island. We had you, Brian Campbell, Al Foran, who was the great comedian impersonator who just recently went viral after the Joshua fight for doing all the impressions at the Joshua post-fight interview. Love that guy. But yeah, look at that.
I love BC too. Brian Campbell on there. Look at that guy.
Brian Campbell. That's Dan Canova not knowing what he's doing at all. Horrible on camera there.
That's before boxing just destroyed your essence. It took everything out of you. It's like
I look pretty youthful there.
Yeah, I guess that's what I mean. Like, you know what, when a woman has a baby, they say like the daughter steals your beauty.
Oh wow.
You know, it's like boxing steals your lifeblood. The longer you spend in it, the more you look like a grizzled old. If you look at all the old guys, everybody looks hammered, haggard, because boxing does that.
It absolutely does. I got some grays now, but I felt better than ever here at episode 440. 430 episodes ago.
Chris Algieri. Well, we did 90 something last year, right? What did you say? 90?
90 episodes last year.
Crazy.
I plan to do 90 more this year. We're throwing a party, Chris. We're throwing a pre-fight party. January 31st, New York City at Jack Doros before Teofimo takes on Shakur. Come hang with us for one of the best pre-fight parties you'll ever see. We did one of these a few years ago, and it was a big hit. Bivol showed up. Big Bang Zhang showed up. It starts at 5 p.m., and it goes to whenever. Some of you have tickets and will go to the fight. Others will stay at the bar and watch the fight because they're going to be playing it at the bar. It's only $20, and $20 gets you a free drink. $25 at the door. It's $20 if you buy the ticket right now at the link that we're going to provide. But I'm excited to get with our listeners, get with our audience, and just have a grand old time in New York City before we watch one of the best fights of the year.
Long-awaited party number 2 for IBL. People have been asking me for months and years now, 2.5 years in the making. We're finally here. Last time was a TO fight, too, so that's kind of interesting. That's a common theme. We've got Teofimo Lopez. So all you TO haters can thank him for these parties because he's in big enough fights that we actually put something on for them. But yeah, no, we've got the invite list out to a ton of fighters. It should be a good turnout. With fighters, you never know until they step in the ring, kind of thing. So we'll see. We'll keep it close to the chest in terms of who's going to be there until we know for sure. But regardless, it's a lot of fun to get to hang out with Dan and I and the our common cast of characters who will come out and hold it down on fight night.
It's going to be a blast. Bivol showed up last time, but he was a little late. That's fine. He did show up. He took some selfies. His Big Bang Zhang was thumb wrestling people. Yeah. That was a scene. That was an absolute scene. But maybe we got to get Big Bang Zhang in there because the Lane brothers responded online. They were excited about it. But yes, I'm really excited about this party. Jack Doyle's bar. It's like you can walk 5 minutes to the garden. Yep. Starts at 5 o'clock. We're going to be going all night long. I haven't decided yet if we're going to go into the arena or not. You might just hang out and watch the fights. Then it becomes a real party. Then you'll be able to watch some big time fights with me and Chris, like, you know, how we usually start, like, you know, texting each other during a fight. Now we'll be live and in color. So that could be a fun aspect of it. Yeah, it's going to be great. And we're going to have a little meet and greet and have a grand old time at Jack Doyle's restaurant and bar, which was my original sponsor of the show. First show I ever did on the road was at Jack Doyle's in 2017. I had a very young Teofimo Lopez on the show, and Mick Conlon.
This guy, the common thread of Teofimo Lopez and IBL, man, it's I didn't know it was so pervasive, but there it is. But yes, Jack Doyle's is a staple in New York City. Great bar, boxing lovers, IBL lovers, Dan Canobio lovers. So it's
I heard you're giving out free dating advice too at the party.
I mean, it's kind of like a kissing booth, except I'm giving advice. Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, I'm in for that.
You're in for that?
I don't know how much it's going to help these guys. Like,
you never know. It's going to be a lot of guys. We're going to try to get some women.
It's going
to
be a lot of guys.
We got some women. Some women will be there, and we're going to do our best to last time I wanted the top rank event models to come, and I was really working on that, but this is not a top
rank. Talk to the MVP girls, man. You're in on the MVP.
One of them is dating Jackson Dart now, Marissa Ayers, one of the event models for MVP. I knew this for a while now because, you know, we're friends, no big deal, me and Marissa. And she had been FaceTiming Jackson Dart, quarterback of my New York Giants, and I'm like, this is amazing. If I could somehow hang out with Jackson Dart and pick his brain at a MVP prospects event. But yeah, they're expensive though. They're expensive. It's out of our budget. Well,
we don't pay, so that's there's that. There's that. We don't
want to come out of the good of your heart.
We don't show up. We don't pay for atmosphere girls. Sorry.
Here's the pitch. Here's the pitch to the event models. Well, we're not going to pay you. You're going to show up to a bar. There's going to be 100, 200 like savage men there that are just
that don't know how to talk to girls
at all
and really like boxing and are probably going to be drunk and gropey.
Come on down, event girls. Come on down, any girls.
Let's strike this from the record. This should not go out. Clip that. This is
this is
attendance.
Going to help. There will be girls there. It will be fun.
There will be girls there.
Girls, fighters.
There'll be girl fighters there. There will be girl fighters there. Actually.
There will be everything. It will be a great night. It's January 31st. Go to the link in our bio here on iTunes and YouTube and buy those tickets now so you can pay a little bit less because it's a little bit more at the door. What do we think about the promotion for Teofimo and Shakur? Do you think it's been good? Do you think it's lacking? Where do you stand?
It's been lacking. You know, they had that press conference and it was
just one press conference. Usually
one press
conference
and Teofimo was trying to, you know, push buttons and trying to make some viral moments and coming off as cringy, which is kind of common for him lately.
I thought he could have been cringier.
I mean, he's been cringier for sure, but
it's like he talks so much trash at times and he can really push buttons at times, whether it's this racial stuff or whether it's just him being an absolute clown or just looking for attention. And then when the time comes to the actual promote a fight, I thought he was abnormally quiet at the presser, where he just wasn't saying. His dad was doing all the talking.
Well, his dad's good for that, especially, you know, when he's got to lock in and be around this guy. He did do a couple that the jiggle my balls thing, which is embarrassing as hell. But Shakur was like, "What?" that was probably the most viral moment of that whole sequence. But I think these two guys have a tremendous amount of respect for each other. I don't know how much of the jibber drawing is really gonna happen with these two. This is just gonna come down to a good old fashioned good fight.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see like maybe some behind the scenes stuff, like a I mean, 24/7 was the best, and there's been iterations of 24/7. Like Showtime had their own, Matchroom has their own. Every program, MVP has their own. It's called Uncut. It's really good. So where's that? Like, I want to see Shakur in the gym. I want to see Teofimo in the gym. I want to see them talking about this event. I want to see, like, I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing a lot of social media stuff. I see commercials on my TV while I'm watching Knick games. But I really want to see them. I want to see their two big personalities. They've been in the limelight for close to 6-7 years. And where is that? Where's the shoulder programming? Because that's, I feel like, helps.
Yeah, we're in a transitionary period, which we've talked about. And I think going from premium pay stations like HBO and Showtime networks to now streaming services, there seems like there's a lacking of being able to have that that tag along content, especially in long form. So I'm wondering where that's going to fall. Like, there is a lane for that.
It's 2 weeks away.
No, I'm not talking about for this fight. I'm just talking about in general.
In general, where are those crazy trailers that Turkey was making? Like the Usyk Fury one.
Dude,
that was insane.
All the new guys come out and they roll out all the stops, and then it just falls apart.
Is that
gone? We don't
see
that anymore. It's gone. It's gone.
I feel like this fight deserves this. This fight 100%. Deserves it. I don't know. It is selling really well, and I think the entire lower bowl is sold. I would not be shocked if it's a complete sellout or close to it. So that's a really good indicator. But I wish there was a tiny bit more. I don't know if it's a January. Is this the type of fight? Do you do this fight in January? Because a big portion of the buildup is around Christmas time or holiday time, and everything gets kind of put on pause. There's not that many big fights at the end of January. I think of May. I think of summer. I think of fall. So maybe that's it. Or maybe just promoters are saying, you know what? It's not. There's no such thing as mega fights anymore. This will be a good one. Let's not put our resources into that if we don't think that it's going to do crazy numbers on pay-per-view and it's already doing well at the gate. I'm already paying these guys a lot. I'm interested in that because I do think the ball has been dropped a little bit in terms of marketing this fight.
No question. But at the end of the day, even on paper, this is a fight fans fight and this is a fighters fight.
Right.
Fighters are going to show up to this fight. Like, this is, yeah. That's a really cool part about this event itself. And both of them deserve it. Shakur and Teofimo both deserve to have the boxing luminaries in the room for that fight because it is that good of a fight. So it's going to be that, but in terms of a commercial success, I don't know. And since there is a question mark about it, you would think that the marketing plan would have been a lot more diligent. And deliberate, but obviously not.
Well, the things I'm asking for aren't that crazy. They're standard. It's like,
no, they're standard, right? But they're deliberate.
Package. They're part of the package at this point. It's the bare minimum. I feel like some type of 8 to 10 minute behind the scenes training camp documentary and a trailer for the fight. So I don't know. Maybe we'll ramp up in the next 2 weeks. I hope so.
Dan,
we're going to be talking.
You know what that means, Dan? IBL has to start an arm of going to camps and producing high quality. Well-produced fight camp pre-fight shows.
I would love to do that.
Come on, dude, expand. We got to start hiring more people.
I would love that. I was supposed to go to Canelo's camp.
You would be great at that. if you had a team and you'd go to these camps,
get the info out of them. Get the fun stuff. Get the real stuff. Get all the stuff. But yeah, it's 2 weeks away. We're going to be promoting the hell out of it. We're going to promote the heck out of this pre-fight party. It's going to be a grand old time. We're going to have a blast. That's for sure.
No
question. January 31st, baby. Going to be a great night in New York City. Let's go over to some of our news. This is a headline type episode. There are some interesting headlines, and Ryan Garcia leads it off. Ryan Garcia versus Mario Barrios is set for February 21st. It's on DAZN pay-per-view. It's for Barrios' WBC welterweight title. Ryan Garcia, is he deserving of this title shot, is the main discussion. All the discussion points we've heard over the last couple months are now resurfacing once again. When this fight was rumored, now it's official. Does Ryan Garcia deserve it? Coming off of a loss, coming off of a PED suspension, all that. But he is a star, Chris, and stars get treated differently.
Yes, of course. And is he deserving? No, absolutely not. We all know that. We know that. He knows that. You can't go off of losses and go right into world title fights. It's laughable. But when you're a superstar, and Ryan is that, he's a global star, you can do that. Manny Pacquiao comes out of retirement, 5 years, steps right into a world title fight. okay. You know, like, yeah, is it right? No. Does he deserve it? No. But does it happen? Yes. And does it work? Yes. And is this going to work? Yes. So it is what it is. I get what it is. At the end of the day, we're a business. It's funny how, like, this is news, even though everyone's known about this for a month. It's just now it's official. It's like, yeah, we've known that. So we do have to talk about it again. We have talked about this in the past, and his deserving spot or not. Regardless, though, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's the welterweight division is starting to get some movement again, and I think the implications for the winner here, especially if it's Ryan, are huge. So, but again, Ryan is one of the biggest question marks in the game. Super talented guy, but sometimes does not show up. Rolly Romero. You know, no, people were talking about him walking through Rolly's like it was nothing, and then he ends up taking a loss, getting dropped, and losing. So there's. I don't know exactly who's going to win this fight, because that's when it comes to Ryan. Any prediction you make, it can go completely the opposite way.
Yeah, he's an absolute wild card. He goes in there and drops Devin Haney numerous times. He's on Osterine. He's in the middle of a manic episode, and he looked
good in the club. He's in the club the week of the fight every night.
Is that true?
That's what I heard.
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I went back and watched some of the interviews I did that week with him at Gleason's gym. That guy it was scary. I mean, I never want to see a fighter like that again. He was going through some serious, serious episode. It felt exploitative. Like, it was crazy. Like, I've talked about this before. Like, I don't want to see that Ryan ever again, where he's on he feel like he's in the middle of a manic episode. And I also don't want to see the Ryan that we saw in the lead up to the Rolly fight, where he was very reserved, very subdued, wasn't really promoting the fight, didn't look like he wanted to be there, horrible performance, somewhere in the middle. And I think that's what we're getting right now. He's doing a lot of streams. He's putting himself out there big time. And that way, it's interesting to see how fighters market themselves now in 2026. It's all streamers. She's Terrence Crawford on with Aiden Ross. We see Ryan Garcia doing all these streams now. Teofimo is linked up at Aiden Ross doing brand risk stuff. So when it comes to that, that's interesting. But in terms of Ryan in the ring, even Tyson Fury recently posted on his Instagram story, and he said, this is true star power. Ryan Garcia right back in a title shot off of a loss. True star power. And I was like, yeah, it's true. I mean, it is. It is what it is. And like you said, we're all going to watch. And that's like the part of boxing that really makes you think. It really makes you upset. Is that, yeah, should Ryan Garcia get this chance? No. Will we be watching? Yes, because we watch everything. There's not enough fights go around. We watch everything. And boxing fans watch everything. So there will be. You can't turn away from Ryan Garcia, Mario Barrios, because we're sickos and we need fights.
Sickos. Yes, sickos. That's, yeah, we all have a, you got to be crazy to be a fighter. You're also going to be crazy to be a boxing fan. So here we are. And we're going to, like you said, we watch everything. So it's not a question about whether we're going to watch it, but so will the people. When it comes to Ryan, people will watch it. And Mario Barrios and Ryan Garcia, I'm not mad at that fight. And 147 is kind of weird. It's not a whole lot going on. You know, it's starting to get fun again. You know, Crawford leaves. Boots leaves, Boots beats Stanionis, Brian Norman blasts onto the scene, gets beat by Haney. Haney's now the guy at 47. Conor Benn's talking about coming back down to 147. Manny Pacquiao came back. Like, 47's got lifeblood again. And Rolly's, are there guys? Rolly's beats Ryan, is a champion. He's got some big fights that are possible for him too. So, yeah, I mean, I don't hate this fight. But how crazy is it? Talk about deserving. Ryan gets this shot, not Rolly. how do you square that peg? You know, like, what are you doing there? Where does this kid? He should be screaming from the rafters.
WBA mandatory. Gassiev. I probably butchered his name. That's why the Pacquiao fight with Rolly kind of fell through. Like, this guy's Simon Matcher.
No, Giasov. Yeah,
Giasov. He's not going anywhere. They did a bunch of step asides. He's done with that. That could be it. We've seen that not be a problem in boxing. We've seen that been a problem in boxing numerous times. Ryan Garcia shot me a DM and said, I heard you and Algeri talking shit that I'm not deserving. But he did a bunch of laughing emojis. Yeah, and he's like, whatever, man. He goes, I get it popping. He goes, me and Jake Paul, the only fighters that get it popping today. And I was like, sadly, kind of true, man. Yeah, so
he
even said it too.
He's not dumb. Right. He's been in the sport long enough. He knows what the hell. He knows what the hell
he's
it is.
He's a rational guy. I replied, and I wasn't about to be like, oh, LOL, yeah, sorry, man. But I said, bro, when have you ever seen a guy coming off a loss get a title shot? And he just wrote back, yeah, true, but I'm getting it, and I got to win. He goes, I just got to win. So he kept saying, I got to win.
Yep.
It's a second chance for this guy. I mean, he's got to be looking in the mirror and say, this is it. If I don't win this fight, I'm staring down the barrel of misfits. I'm staring down the barrel.
This is third chance. First chance was against Tank. Second chance was against Rollies, which was a layup. And now he's got what kind of looks like another layup, but...
Yeah, I don't know what chance we're on. You're right. What chance? Like, the Tank fight, I looked at that as, like, him really pushing for that, and no one was really giving him a shot there. And he was also looked at way differently than he is now. Obviously, the shine has really been taken away from him because of the Rolly and the Haney situation. But
that was so funny. I remember the Tank fight, and, like, I had, like, fringe boxing fans being like, yo, what do you think? And I'm like, nah, well, Tank's going to knock him out. And they were like, really? And I'm like, yeah, dude. What do you mean? Like, yeah, I like Ryan, but like, yeah, they're two different things. Like, but yeah, it was
rehydration clause played a role there.
That it definitely didn't help. But also, Tank fought really well. But Tank boxed really well. Let's not take away from Tank's performance and just say that it was a rehydration clause because
that he knocked down
really well that night.
Yeah, that second round or third round. Second round.
Yeah, he rolled. Whoop.
Counter.
Boom.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And then he knew. And even in you know, interviews after and since, Tank said, he was like, yo, I watched all these videos of Ryan knocking people out. He was like, I was concerned about that hook, man. I had to work on getting away from that hook. And he did. He went right under that thing. He didn't even look. He knew when he goes under, Ryan's hand, his right hand is down. Here it comes. Overhand left. Bang. Right on the money.
Damn. Damn,
that was strategic. That wasn't luck. That wasn't just reactions. That was strategic.
Oh, man, we could be living in a world where we're watching more Tank knockouts because his knockouts are freaking scientific.
Yeah, we were big Tank fans on this podcast for a number of years, scoring all those knockouts back to back to back.
He just was great, man. He's just pushing. He was just putting asses in seats. Buzz knockouts. I don't know. That's a story for
fun.
Day.
Fun interviews. But,
fun interviews. Yeah, right. Seriously. Running intimate CVS will always be a crazy look back, insane moment there. Everyone talking about if Ryan Garcia is deserving of a Barrios fight, but very little talk about how the actual fight will play out. Like, how do you see Garcia and Barrios playing out?
Barrios is a guy, he's solid. I don't think he should be a world champion. You know, he's life and death struggles with Abel Ramos and a 65-year-old Manny Pacquiao who hasn't fought in 10 years. I like Mario, but he just, I don't know, recent form has just not been there. I don't know how he's gotten so many opportunities over the years. You know, he's a multiple division world champion and he's pretty basic. But that being said, basic can beat guys like Ryan. Ryan is super talented, but if Ryan doesn't show up, basic beats him. Rollies went out there and boxed basic. Boxed smart, boxed well, boxed in a way that we never really seen him. Stayed very under control, but it was very basic fight. And that was enough to upset Ryan's, you know, talent. Does Barrios have the ability to do that? Absolutely. If Ryan doesn't show up, but if Ryan shows up, guns blazing, he's a problem for everybody, dude. He's got speed and legit power, KO power in that left hand. Barrios is durable, but he's been down. He's been stopped. Ramos dropped him recently. Then Keith Thurman didn't drop him, but he got stopped by Tank. Also, rehydration clause on that one. So they do have that. Actually, that's a good. That's an interesting caveat. They both fought Tank. Both got dropped to the body by Tank. Both got stopped by Tank.
Yep.
Both had rehydration clauses. So they've got that to share. But yeah, I favor Ryan, but I don't know which Ryan's going to show up.
Yeah, it goes right back to the original thing of Ryan being a wild card. If Ryan goes back to his jab, and whether he's landing it or using it as a range finder or using it just simply to get separation, like he was times where he doesn't even throw the jab. He just keeps it
back to the jab. Early Ryan. When did he use the jab?
Another thing too that we fight about in the DMs. I have a better jab numbers than what CompuBox gives me credit for. I was like, bro, you don't have a jab. Like you have you literally just put your hand out and you put your chin back.
Yeah. And he's very tall and he has long arms and he uses a rangefinder for the hook. Ryan is a left hook machine.
Well, if he does that, yeah, I think he has a chance.
And then times you. The issue is going to be the height. Barrios is tall. Ryan's used to using that range finding jab on smaller guys. You post your arm out like that with a tall guy, you're going to get hit over and under. And Barrios is a good body puncher, especially with the left hook. So that range finding post is not going to be a great weapon against Barrios. Even though Barrios does have short arms, he's still tall. And I think he's taller than Ryan. So that's going to be interesting to see how he deals with the height. But yeah, that range finding post, it's not a jab. So I don't know whether you say going back to the jab. He never really had a jab, but he did.
What do you call
that?
He's
a counterpuncher.
I'm kind of just putting it in as a...
Well, he needs to be a counterpuncher. He needs to be in his, pull on his back foot, pull on his back
Barrios
foot. Because
is not a front foot guy.
What is Barrios?
I don't know what Barrios is. I've watched him for years
now. He's not a back foot guy. He's not a back foot guy. He's actually very heavy over his front foot. So Barrios is very heavy. If you watch his stance, he's very heavy over his front foot. He doesn't vary his jab. His head stays in the same place. He steps forward, heavy foot in that front hand, and he throws a jab that doesn't vary. There's so many opportunities to counter him, which is why Pacquiao had so much success. Just get your head offline, throw the left hand when he jabs. He has a good jab when he uses it, but it's not variable. So it can be timed. Ryan has good timing when he's on. So can he time the jab with that left hook the way he did with Devin Haney? If he does, I think we're going to have an early night. But if he can't find that rhythm, he can't find that range, he can't find the sometimes a slow guy, because I think Barrios is pretty slow. So by slow guys can throw off counterpunchers, especially guys who are really fast, because you're expecting to be there already and you miss the timing. So it's going to be a timing fight for Ryan.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that. I like some actual X's and O's with this fight, because I've heard nothing from that. It's mostly how does Barrios have a title still? How does Ryan get a shot in this?
Yeah.
But I actually think it's like a pretty interesting fight when you get to the X's and O's, and we're going to see what type of Ryan shows up. He's being trained by his dad now. Any training footage of him is in some type of living room. It's very interesting to watch. And shout out to Mario Barrios' manager, because this guy, resume, and I put resume. I understand resume usually fights that you win. Mario Barrios' dance partners. Tank Davis, Manny Pacquiao, Keith Thurman, Ugas, Abel Ramos on Netflix. One of the most watched fights of the year and ever. And now Ryan Garcia. For a guy that we don't even know what his strength is. For a guy that doesn't really have a memorable win. I guess the Ugas one is his best win.
Yeah, definitely.
That was a great performance. I'm not knocking him either. I'm not knocking the guy. Listen, like, people would dream of this career. Fighters would dream of these types of opportunities and to be on stages like this. It's life-changing type of money that he has been making for the last 5 years.
He's only 30 years old, too. It's crazy.
What?
He's only been around forever.
If you told me he was 36, I'd say, okay.
Yeah.
30?
All those guys you mentioned, he's had a hell of a career.
He's only 3 years older than Ryan Garcia. Is Ryan Garcia 27 now?
Probably 28, I think. He's probably only a couple years older.
Ryan Garcia is 27. Okay. Man, everyone's getting old, bro.
Wow. But yeah, his career should be studied.
Interesting career. Back-to-back draws.
Back-to-back draws and is still the champion. His two best wins are definitely Ugas and Akhmadov.
The Akhmadov one, I was there live for that. That was struggled. On the undercard of Spence and Sean Porter in Staples Center. And this was when Barrios had, I was shocked at how many fans that he had, and they're really pushing him. This guy has San Antonio behind him. And I remember watching that fight and walking away being like, I'm not that impressed, because he struggled. He almost got like a hometown decision there. And since that fight, he has cashed in big time.
Yeah, got the Gervonta Davis fight, followed by the Keith Thurman fight. then Ugas, who just seemed to be kind of shop-worn, struggled with Fabian.
Is that post-Pacquiao Ugas or pre-Pacquiao Ugas?
Good question. I think it – well, I'll tell you right now. It was post. No. It was post Spence Ugas.
Oh God, he got destroyed.
Yeah, he got years taken off his life in that Spence fight. So yeah, he's a shell of himself at that point. He struggled with Fabian Maidana. I remember that was a tough fight as well. And then Abel Ramos obviously was life and death. And then the Manny Pacquiao. Yeah, well, I mean, again, I like Mario. Good dude, but what a career. Definitely needs to be looked at with a microscope and a fine-tooth comb.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's the main event on February 21st. All eyes will be there because it's Ryan Garcia. A rumored undercard has Richardson Hitchens taking on Oscar Duarte. We touched on this last episode. Fight. Really good fight. Duarte's on a 4-fight win streak. Just beat Kenneth Sims. 4-fight win streak since losing to Ryan Garcia.
Yeah, I was going to say, former Ryan Garcia opponent.
Hitchens just said recently that he's not long for 147.
Long for 147.
I like this fight. Excuse me. Yeah, he's going to be going to 147. That could make welterweight even more interesting. Like that. Gary Antoine Russell is rumored to be on this card fighting Andy Hiroka. That fight was supposed to be on the Tank Jake Paul undercard. Why Hitchens isn't fighting Russell, two champions, I don't know. But decent undercard. And everything is looking good for February there.
Well, is Duarte a number one contender?
I don't know his standing. I think this is obvious. I think this might be a voluntary defense. I know Hitchens is turning down fights left and right. He's going at it with Devin Haney.
Yeah, I don't know if Duarte is the guy you want to pick for your if it's your if your your choice. Duarte is tough.
I don't believe it's for the IBF. I don't believe
the IBF does. They IBF does push their rankings in the number one contender. So if that's the case, that would be indicative. Again, I don't know why you're picking Oscar Duarte. He's very strong and he's been on a hell of a streak since he teamed up with Robert Garcia, which has been since the Ryan Garcia fight. He's been on an absolute tear.
He's third according to IBF rankings.
So it was a voluntary. Oof. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's just running out of dance partners, Hitchens, turning down fighters.
Who has he turned down?
Well, apparently he told on himself on Twitter, him and Haney were going at it, and Keyshawn Davis, he was offered $2 million to fight Keyshawn Davis, and he didn't take that fight.
Interesting.
I don't know, Hitchens, he just gets himself in trouble on Twitter. Guy calls out everybody and everyone. I feel like he's a guy that's like he's just like wants attention, but he's not getting it. He's really good, and he just lashes out on Twitter, and he's just all over the place, and he's just calling. He has no direction.
A lot of these young guys, they look up to the Gervonta Davises of the world, the Ryan Garcias, and they see the clout that these guys get, and a lot of times they start chasing, trying to do the same kind of thing.
He's frustrated. That is the undercard for February 21st. It's not really set in stone, just a lot of rumors. Moving on to Zuffa Boxing. Zuffa Boxing, January 23rd, February 14th. They got two dates here. Main event, Callum Wallace versus Carlos Ocampo. We talked about that. That's January 23rd. It looks like they've just signed F.A. Jogba to fight Charles Martin. 40-year-old Charles Martin. February 14th is the working date for this one. So Zuffa Boxing is storming on with fighters that we have heard about, and they have dates, and it will be at the UFC Apex that has just been named the Meta Apex.
Where the hell did they dig up Charles Martin?
That's the prince, bro.
I know he was down here in Florida. He came to my gym, actually. It was like 2 years ago, and he hadn't talked for 2 years, and then apparently he was thinking about training at my gym with Derek Santos, but that fell through. And I will say this, I got to watch him train. That is a big athletic dude, man. He is for still a heavyweight. This is a couple years ago, but he looked good. I was impressed seeing someone that big be as athletic as he was. I told him that too. Actually, it was probably even longer than 2 years ago because I think I was sparring a while ago. Yeah.
F.A. Jogba turned down a IBF eliminator with Frank Sanchez to sign with Zuffa to fight Charles Martin. That's a move.
The bonus, the signing bonus must have been good. The signing bonus must have been nice.
Something brought F.A. Jogba to the table. Something made him sign there. Point being, We talked about this last time. These aren't huge events. They are going to be at the UFC Apex. They are names we have heard about. You had heard of, I should say. And they have dates. I don't know how true this is, but I saw on Twitter, like, they have a lot of holds at the Apex. They could be doing 3 to 4 shows in the first month. They could do 2 shows or 3 shows or even 4 in the first month, which I don't know. I mean, it's not the biggest thing in the world. I get that. But they're going to be consistent, and they have a network home. There's a lot of promoters out there that don't have a network.
Dan, it's a long play. Doesn't matter. They're keeping overhead low. That's why they're doing it at the Apex. It's a long play. They got all
they're not
the
horrible
time.
Fights.
No, they got all the time and money in the world. They're going to roll it out slow. They're going to do the opposite of what everyone else does when they come into this sport. And they just throw money into every show, and they burn it, and they ruin the market, and they set everything way too high, and then it just falls apart, and everyone notices. They're doing the opposite. They're gonna start low and build. We talked about this on a previous episode. In like a lamb, out like a lion. There's not a rush. It's not like there's a bank account they're worrying about emptying. This is a slow play. And I think it's smart.
Yes, you can look at it a lot of different ways. I mean, they've been talking a big game, and you think of Dana White, you think of Zuffa, you think of the biggest and the baddest. Dana for years criticized these types of events, and now they're putting on these type of events because simply there isn't a lot of names out there that they can sign at the moment. But you know, the minute, who knows what this can be. Like, once again, they have a network. There's not a lot of promoters there that have networks. There's not a lot of promoters that are putting on consistent shows. Pro Box, yes. Most Viable Promotions, yes, putting on consistent fights. Top Rank doesn't have a promoter, doesn't have a network. Golden Boy could not have a network. They're on the outs with DAZN. This fight this weekend with Curiel and Rocha could be the final show Golden Boy has on DAZN. There's nothing else on the schedule. If you go to the DAZN website or the app, they have match all these fights laid out. Match from Queensberry. There's not anything after this weekend for Golden Boy. So Golden Boy could be looking for a home. So it's slow and steady wins the race. I understand some people are like, Dan, are you kidding me? Like, you're not going to talk about the fact that they're going to amend the Ali Act. We talked about that before. You know where we stand on it. But I'm looking at it from a different lens now. I'm looking at it as these are not horrible fights. And I want to see the grand scheme. I want to see the big play out, because this is a very slow play, because this isn't their main thing. UFC is their main thing. And
yeah, I see it being a long play. Obviously, you've been saying that. But also, you're also starting to see some concessions where it's like, all right, this is probably kicked as a business venture. It's like, all right, listen, we're just going to follow the same thing we did for the UFC, and we're just going to bring it to boxing. It worked there. It's going to work here. And then they're starting to realize, like, can't really do that. So we're going to have to make adjustments, make some concessions. But again, don't worry. It's going to work out. So I think that's kind of where we're at where they're at with that. But whatever, we're getting more fights. Like you said, they're names. They're not bad fights. They're not bad shows. They're not big fights. They're not big shows. But whatever, like, it's boxing, and we're keeping these guys active and moving. And there's boxing on the calendar on Paramount Plus. Okay, well, good.
Exactly. That's a feat in 2026. So let's grade them with a curve. Next item here, Brian Norman drops his dad as lead trainer. Shout out to Cigar Talk, our guy Najee, for this great interview that he did with Brian Norman. Reveals that his dad is no longer his lead trainer after losing to Devin Haney. And I actually respect Brian Norman and his dad for this move here. I don't know if the dad was on board with it. I don't know if it was a collective agreement. But we've seen this a lot of times in boxing, Chris. We see a father and son. It's very hard to fire your dad. It's very hard to get rid of your son. But sometimes it's not working. And oftentimes it's the wrong situation. And I feel like Norman Sr. took Norman Jr. as far as he could possibly go. But there were some glaring deficiencies in that Haney fight. And I actually like this move. I respect it.
Historically, father-son, fighter-trainer relationships are hit or miss. You know, you've got some good, you've got some bad, you've got some ugly over the years. You know, currently we've got Bill and Devin Haney, which is working out great. Working out great, obviously.
But I will say that's working, though, because Haney will bring in voices.
Bill will bring in other trainers. He's always brought his son around to other places. He's been willing to have other guys join the camp and be in the corner. But at the end of the day, it's always Bill who's the guy heading the ship.
What can you can't say anything wrong with you might not like Bill Haney. You might not like
his I personally like Bill. I've hung out with Bill. I like Bill. I think Bill's great.
But look how he's guiding this guy's career.
Yeah, done for his son. You know, he's got a lot of love for his son, obviously, and he's guiding his career in a very, very smart way. He's made the kid a tremendous amount of money. He's building a resume that is going to be stacked up historically for a very long time. So yeah, you can't knock that hustle. Then you look at Floyd Mayweather, one of the most well-paid athlete and a boxer ever. And him and his father they were on the outs pretty early. You know, the uncle obviously worked out.
Raj, but, miss you, Raj.
Father, son, did not work out. Roy Jones and his father did not work out. You know, overbearing, brutal to his son at times. Shane Mosley and his father. You know, you've got a lot of father-son matchups over the years. You're going to have stress and strife. I hope that their relationship isn't fractured. I hope it's just their business in terms of their boxing. I wouldn't mind seeing his father still being around, but a new coach comes in or new head coach, something like that, if that's possible. But we'll see. But I think there's a lot of upside for Brian Norman. I've said that before coming in the post-Haney fight. The kid's got a lot of talent, got a lot of potential. He's very, very good. He's a power puncher. He's got good timing. He's got good amateur. He's got good skills, good amateur background. They built his career in a very smart way, an old school way. So I don't think you can write him off. And in terms of the performance, I'm going to push back a little bit on the performance. Yeah, were there some glaring mistakes? Sure. Were there things that he could have done? Sure. But I think he got hurt really bad early in that fight. And I don't know if he was able to really, truly recover from that first shot. Also, he had the broken nose. So he had some real adversity in that fight. And I think he had a kind of coming to Jesus moment in there. And he just needs more experience. He's a young guy.
He also said that he was mentally out of the fight by the third round. He knew he wasn't going to win.
Yeah, well, so I actually said that on a Pro Box show earlier. But
he had
today.
No game plan, though.
I watched him like get smaller as the fight went on. He lost belief in himself as the fight wore on, and that was very obvious. Not only in his the way he was fighting, but also even his face in the corners. You could just see he wasn't in it. He wasn't in it to win it.
All right, so who should train Brian Norman? There's a lot of names being put forth. He's got a great style. He's got a lot of power. Maybe needs to clean up some other aspects. Who should train Brian Norman going forward?
Footwork and a jab.
Like I see a lot of the normal names being thrown out there. Like
I like Derek James.
Why so?
I think of what he did with Spence and the Charlos. You got guys, they're not movers. None of them were movers, but they can punch. He got them consistent on their jab and being more active. You know, Brian's not a super active guy. He's not super active with the jab, even though he's a very good timing puncher. Take a guy like that and you put a little more activity, get him on the jab. You don't have to make him move around a whole lot. I think that could work. I also like the fact that Derek is very no nonsense. So I could see that working for a young guy. Also, you're going to be around a lot of killers because there's always killers in Texas to work with. So, yeah, Derek comes to mind
first. Texas, right, Norman?
Trying to think of some others. Who else?
Like I see Robert Garcia being thrown about. I see.
Spoke to him today about it. He said he's like, I'm not poaching him. I'm like, I'm not looking for it. He's like, but he's going to get great sparring here, which.
Boozy Ennis in Philly.
It's a good one.
Came up. Buddy McGirt. It's very interesting when you throw out these names and stuff because it's like we all can see what Brian Norman needs to do. Like you want to work on footwork and a jab. Like every trainer should teach you that. Like all these guys are going to see the same thing.
Well, he's worked on it too. It's not like he hasn't worked on it.
Exactly. He just needs someone to hone it in. And what it comes down to, I think it comes down to who meshes well. Like more than just the physical stuff, it's like, all right, now he's looking for a new voice. He's had his dad in his ear his entire life. His dad, I watched an interview where his dad said, I've been molding this kid since he was 3 years old. He's a little soldier of mine. So that's you need a whole new voice now. So it has to be more of like a spiritual connection. I mean, you can touch on this way more than anyone else. Someone that changed trainers and is looking for that voice. So yeah, obviously someone that can teach you work on the X's and O's, but you also have to find someone that you can mesh with outside of the ring and be that voice.
I didn't have a family member as my coach, but I could see you being able to push back on your dad. You know, if your dad's your coach and you kind of like, you're growing up together, you're starting to make it, you become a champion. It's like, yeah, all right. All right, Pop. You know, like, you're not pushing Derrick James back, and is my point. You know, like, that's why that name came to me, because I don't, you know, the no nonsense, I think, is really important. But yeah, I think Bozy makes sense. Buddy McGirt's not a bad one. Boxer puncher, because Buddy teaches the style. Buddy is not a coach who kind of goes to your particular techniques. He teaches a style, which is very similar to his own style. He was a boxer puncher. What he did with Gotti was incredible. Ooh. I mean, and their styles weren't that different. Not a lot of movement. Buddy was had a great jab and a good left hook. Gotti did too, but he never used that damn jab. Buddy got him to use the jab. So if he can get Brian Norman to use the jab, and obviously he's got the power, I could see a nice marriage there.
Yeah, I'm not writing off Brian Norman. Not writing him off whatsoever.
No, no way.
It's a very fun division now. He's a name. He's got the power, like we talked about. He needs a bounce back win, and then reassess the landscape here. He's got a. I think he.
The ever heading into the fight.
Ever changing landscape is that's correct. Let's touch on a topic here that's become so tiresome, but there has been some more updates. Oscar De La Hoya says he's walking away from the boots fight. This is after. He put out an ultimatum for Eddie Hearn. This is after he said it has to be 60-40. He says Virgil has options. One of those options is Errol Spence. I don't know how realistic that is. Maybe Fundora, but Fundora and Thurman are going to fight. My question now is, if Virgil walks away from this boots fight, does he really have options? Is Errol Spence an option? He hasn't fought in 2 years and not zero indications that he's coming back. Fundora and Thurman are going to fight. They're booked. Bakram and Zayas are booked. So if Oscar, call his bluff here.
Zayas not Bakram.
They're not fighting each other, but they're fighting on the same date in January.
They're booked in fights, right? Okay.
Yes, yeah, so it's Oscar is really depending on an Errol Spence to come out of retirement or a Charlo. I mean, I think it's a big-time blunder from Oscar here. I think they're going to call him on his bluff, and it could potentially make Virgil look pretty silly.
So, number one, Spence, Virgil's not happening. Talk to Robert Garcia. He said he's not interested in that fight. They're not interested in that fight. He's not going to be excited for that fight. And apparently there's news that Zhu and Spence are in discussions.
Well, I respect Mikey, Robert Garcia a lot, but what's the hierarchy of decision makers for a fighter? You have the trainer, you have Oscar, and you have manager Rick, and they're all chirping right now. So who's calling the shots here?
So it should be the fighter. So the trainer is basically just the fighter. So for me, when I hear the trainer saying it, that's basically the fighter. That's true. It's not the fighter himself saying it, but that's like the fighter trainer. They're the guys who communicate the most when they're in the gym. And that's where you're going to get the trainer's going to hear the fighter go, I really want to fight this. I'd love to fight this guy. You know, that's the manager is going to, you know, work for the manager. The promoter is going to go for the biggest fight possible. So you got three different, you know, basically ideas and angles and routes, right? You got the promoter, you got the manager, and then you got the fighter trainer. I'm putting them in together. So when I hear a trainer say that, then I'm like, all right, this is closest to the fighter as you're going to get without actually speaking to the
fighter. But I like Robert. Like, I think Robert is a trainer, but like he's such a great trainer that his words carry a lot of weight. And he seems like he's more involved with certain guys. Like he's very involved with Virgil. He's very involved with Bam.
Yes, and he has been through all of. He's been telling me about Virgil since 2017. Robert, like he just said, I got this kid coming, and it reminds me of like Emmanuel Stewart when toward the end of his training career, he said he's like, I won't train a fighter unless I'm their manager as well, because the dissenting voices of the manager and the trainers, well,
conflict
they can
of
be different.
There.
Yes, exactly. But you know, that's what it is. So there's that. Does he have options? Yes. Yeah. Does he have options? The answer is
no.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Who? Rashidi Ellis. Is that what we're looking at? Virgil Ortiz, Rashidi Ellis?
It's going to be, I don't want to call it a keep busy fight. That's not what he wants. He wants the biggest fights. But yes, he's not going to be able to get one of those guys unless something falls through. Keith Thurman gets hurt again. You know, they want the Fundora fight. I know that. which is a gangbusters fight. But I believe there's something going on with Thurman and Fundora that they still have a deal in place, and that fight's almost definitely going to happen. Spence and Zhu kind of makes sense because of how inactive Spence has been in his last fight, and the fact that Zhu is coming off of a very rough go. That's like the battle of the roughshod. They're both pretty banged up.
Spence versus Zhu is intriguing. When I saw this come through down the wire, reported by Paulie Malignaggi and Boxing Scene, and then reiterated by Robert Garcia, Spence versus Zhu makes a lot more sense than Spence versus Virgil. It's like a loser leaves hometown kind of fight.
Spence Virgil made sense because of Texas.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It goes kind of against with what Spence is all about. Spence doesn't do tune-ups. But then again, he's 2 years out of the game. This is way different. And Zhu is on his, I wouldn't even say last leg. We're running out of legs here. But when I came down, I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense. Like, I'm kind of intrigued by Spence Zhu.
Yeah, loser leaves the sport.
Loser leaves town.
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be one of those fights you kind of watch, like, with between fingers, like, what's gonna happen? Like, gets hurt. But in terms of Virgil, you know, back to Virgil, the drawn end of fight should happen, but I feel like it's not going to. The way that these guys are maneuvering, you know, it's not hope. I'm not getting hope out of it at all. No, I don't think anyone's
seen
is.
This. We've seen this one too many times as fans. Yeah. We've
writing's on the wall. This fight's not happening next.
We've seen this. We're seeing all the talking. We're seeing all the behaviors of a fight that's not going to happen. I thought if Virgil was going to pivot, it would be a Spence or a Charlo. Neither of those guys are dependable for different reasons. Ennis, I feel like, has a few more options, or Ennis doesn't have as much pressure on him for a big fight. And I feel like they're the ones that are going to come out of this looking a little bit better. Because it's all Oscar doing the talking of not taking the fight, and we need making the demand, public demands. Another thing too, see all these public negotiations, never a good thing. Very fluid situation. Manager Rick says he's getting in the mix. He's not done. He's not done with that one. Before we say goodbye, there is a fight this weekend.
Real quick.
Okay.
Be careful. I'm just putting this out there. Brandon Adams.
For who?
He might come into play.
I like Brandon Adams, but you know, if we're going from Boots versus Virgil to Brandon Adams, I mean, that's tough. That's a tough scene for either guy. There are names that they can find. They can find fighters on 154 for either guy. But I thought, like I said, I thought the pivot for Virgil would be a big ticket fight that would raise his profile, like a Spence or a Charlo, and raise his bargaining power. But like we said, there's not that many options, really. If you look at it, Spence is pretty much retired. Charlo's pretty much retired. Fundora has fights. Thurman has fights. Bakram has fights. Zayas has fights. So what are we doing here? Just fight each other, guys. Get in a room. Figure it out.
It's musical chairs.
It's so silly. It's right there in front of them. It's right there.
Don't hold your breath.
If Virgil Ortiz loses, what's the big deal? He fights him again. He gets paid.
Don't hold your breath, Dan. I'm being very pessimistic on this fight.
I'm very bearish.
I'm very bearish on this one.
Bro, when they got in the ring afterwards, I was very pumped up. I was like, okay, Boots is there. The momentum is there. And it just slowly deteriorated and chipped away, and Oscar just kept talking, and we don't know. A fight. In welterweight division, Curiel and Rocha, it's a rematch. Their first fight was a draw back in December of 2025. They combined to throw 1,500 punches. Curiel took a fight in June. Rocha has not fought since their first fight. It was a slow-moving brawl. It started slow, and then it turned into a brawl towards the end. Both are in the ring top 10 at welterweight. Curiel, slight favorite, -140. It's Golden Boy, presented by Golden Boy on DAZN. It could potentially be Golden Boy's final show on DAZN. Should be another banger at welterweight.
Good fight. I think Curiel's a beast. Rocha,
he's a favorite.
I think Rocha overperformed in that first fight. Can he do it again? Maybe he just has his number and that's going to be a good fight again. But regardless, good scrap the first time and should expect another one again.
Yes, and I will be tuned in. It's not the biggest fight weekend, but it's a big NFL playoff weekend. I'll be tuned into those NFL games. You've been watching. So what's your team heading moving forward?
I'm a Giants guy, so
they're out.
I got nothing. I know. That's what I mean. Like, what am I got now? I guess
Bills?
Buffalo.
Yeah,
I'm a Buffalo because there's a lot of Buffalo down here in Florida. There's Buffalo bars everywhere. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got people dressed on Sunday. I was down in Deerfield. There was people dressed in full Buffalo Bills gear walking around.
Regalia?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess when I'm down here, I'm a Bills.
Jumping through tables?
These people are nuts down here. Crazy. There's entire bars dedicated to the Buffalo Bills here.
Yeah, I mean, they're a movement. I mean, Bills, Broncos, 4 o'clock on Saturday. 49ers, Seahawks, Saturday night. Texans, Patriots, Sunday. And then Rams, Bears. It's a wide open field this year. It's not your normal powerhouses.
Right. I was just talking about this. This is the one year where we don't have like a standout team that's going like
kind of cool.
Full chart. It is cool. It's the way it's supposed to be. Those NFL writers are doing, they learned something. They're changing up the script. I like it.
We need them to join boxing and give us some storylines.
They're already trying. Stop.
Give us some storylines, guys.
Stop trying to write the storylines. This isn't WWE. Let them fight.
All right, everyone. Hope you have a great weekend. Don't forget to buy tickets now to our Inside Boxing Live pregame party. They're in the links all over our socials and everywhere. It's $20 to get a free drink, get to hang out with us. It's going to be a grand old time on January 31st.
I haven't drank yet this year. Am I going to break it at the,
God.
The party?
You're going to be sloppy?
Nah, I don't get sloppy. That's not
one beer and you're like, hey, let me tell you about my career. Ruslan Provodnikov, I'm calling you out again.
If I fight him, we got to do that. You know, seen the fights where you got to hold a beer in one hand and boxing glove with the other.
Oh my God, we should do that.
That's cool.
Should we do that at the event?
No, definitely not.
Okay, no. That's a hard
enough. Definitely not.
I just got excited. We got to do something. Okay, so I'm going to brainstorm some games that we could do at the event. Have a great weekend, everyone. Any final words?
Nope. Make sure you guys come out to the party. It's going to be a grand old time. Buy your tickets. Set up early. Come hang out. Come chat.
5 o'clock. All right, everyone. We'll see you early next week. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs.
Monster Energy. Everybody knows White Monster, Zero Ultra. That's the OG. It kicked off this whole zero sugar energy drink thing. But Ultra is a whole lineup now. You've got Strawberry Dreams, Blue Hawaiian, Sunrise, and Vice Guava. And they all bring the Monster Energy punch. So if you've been living in the white can, branch out. Ultra's got a flavor for every vibe. And every single one is zero sugar. Tap the banner to learn more.